All right, let's get to Eddie. Eddie Lowe is CIO at Maybank Group Wealth Management. Eddie, these are turbulent times, and it's very hard to find reasons to be bullish, particularly in China, in Europe, and in the United States. You've got an inverted yield curve. You've got an economy that looks like it is progressing toward recession, a very aggressive Federal Reserve. And to the extent that inflation is starting to slow, there's no indications that it will race to the downside. And I was just looking over these comments by Scott Minard. I thought we could start off by this because he's actually saying that, and this is sort of loosely citing this rule of 20, where you have markets fairly valued when you have the inflation rate plus the PE equaling 20, and we're much above that right now. Do you see the possibility? I mean, he's saying you'll see a 20% fall in the S&P 500 by sometime in October. Your outlook?
Right. I think you're right in the sense that I think the uncertain macro backdrop definitely warrants a defensive stance in asset allocation. You know, we have held the view that the market was really premature to price in an elephant pivot when it rallied in July and early August. And so that view was reinforced by Powell's very hawkish speech at the Jackson Hole. Now, moving forward, having said that, I think the expectations are now more reasonably priced now, although we are not expecting any positive surprise on the rates expectation. But I think what is going to be dragging the market is really on growth expectations, especially for corporate earnings. So the debate now is really on whether it's going to be a shallow kind of decline or is it going to be a deeper time of decline. And so I think at this juncture, we are still on more on the shallow camp. So the 20%, I think, is more will likely more occur should we get a deeper than expected growth decline and recession.
What does it mean for the dollar strength and how that flows through into Asia when you're continuing to see these outflows and that's seeing indexes around more than two-year lows?
Right. I think the dollar index really surprised us, actually. It looks a little bit overbought in the near term. Although, you know, given the Fed hawkish stance is likely to support the dollar in the foreseeable future. And historically, a stronger dollar has worked against Asian markets. So I think that's going to be put a dampener on Asian risk asset performance as well. But having said that, we did see more resilience coming out from Southeast Asia economies this year, especially for Indonesian equities, given the fact that I think the country is actually benefiting from robust commodity exports as well as consumption activities. But overall, we do believe that the dollar should soften, perhaps towards the year end as the U.S. economy growth becomes more pronounced. And at the same time, the yield differential between U.S. and the other global economies narrow.
I wanted to bring up China markets and something we've seen of late, which I think has to be, in a sense, a negative for Hong Kong and China stocks, that you've had these legendary bets getting unwound. Naspers selling down its early Tencent stake, SoftBank unloading Alibaba, and Warren Buffett selling BYD. What do you read into that?
Well, I mean, as in like different investors sell their, or, you know, pile out their stock or stakes for different reasons. But, you know, the names that you mentioned, they have held the stakes for a long time. So they may be just looking at their portfolio, doing some readjustments, you know, and taking some profit off the table as we speak. But for China, we currently still hold a neutral stance on Chinese equities. You know, we know that, you know, our market valuation is very is inexpensive given the sell-off that we've witnessed over the past 12 to 18 months. But having said that, the growth uncertainties, especially with that very stringent zero COVID policy in place, that's going to put a lid on the upside. And therefore, we do expect, you know, markets to remain pretty choppy.
Not only that, but I mean, it's fair to say that President Xi Jinping is tightening the government's grip on the private sector. And that doesn't bode well for stocks.
Well, yes, I mean, the regulatory tightening that started, since last year, that is definitely, putting a lid on the growth rates, especially for the new economy stocks, the giants, the tech giants as we speak. No, but having said that, we are actually seeing reducing intensity of regulatory tightening. It's not going to go away, but the companies, the private companies, are just going to have to adapt and live with this new regulatory regime, right? And we do believe that the innovation capabilities of these companies are still there. And I don't think the government is really out there to kill it, especially given the fact that these companies are increasingly becoming an important component of the economy. And they do employ quite a fair bit of people. And we have already heard news that, the likes of Tencent and Baba looking to cut jobs. So, doing overkilling it, I think that's going to create unemployment issues, which I think the government wants to avoid.
We've been talking about your thoughts there on China. I want to get your thoughts in terms of what you're seeing in the Japanese equity picture when you've got the yen at this 1998 level and, of course, more speculation that you could see some intervention here.
Right. I think the Japanese stock market, if you look at the Nikkei 225, they have actually held up a little bit better than expected compared to the likes of S&P 500 and as well as, the European markets. But if we take into account of the currency in dollar terms, they obviously Japanese equities have not done well, given the fact that yen has retreated to a 24-year high against the dollar. I think we are now looking at above the 140 level. The problem, I guess, with the yen, or Japan is that the BOJ has been very dovish, and they do not really have. The bank central bank does not really have an urgency to tighten monetary policies like the Fed or the ECB because of the fact that inflation is still pretty benign in Japan. And I think the talks are that the BOJ is unlikely to move really until Kuroda, the central bank Governor Kuroda steps down early next year. So I think that yield differential is still going to keep yen weak for the time being. And that's going to, affect the performance of the currency. Having said that, a weaker yen bodes well for Japanese exporters.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's within their power to make a change if they want, not by intervention, but just ditch YCC. Yield curve control is keeping those yields low. If those yields go up, the yen will strengthen, right? So, I mean, they can't really complain too much. This is their own policy decision.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's just as I mentioned, there seems to be this reluctance really to do any major changes at this juncture, and because of the fact that inflation is really still quite I would say benign within Japan compared to the other major economies, so there is really no urgency for them to do so.
Indonesia, an outperformer at these records. How much further upside do you see there?
Right. I think Indonesia is one of the few markets that we are positive on since the beginning of this year. And we are glad that the call has turned out pretty okay for us. If we look at the economy, yes, as I mentioned, commodities, I think that has been a key driver. Maybe some of the tailwinds are fading, but on top of that, we still have that, consumption activities being boosted by reopening. And of course, tourists are actually going back to Indonesia as we speak, as the country reopens their borders, right? So we do believe that the market performance will still be supported in the near term by these robust macro conditions. There is some uptick in inflation. The BI has actually taken a step to tighten monetary policies, but not too aggressively yet to kill growth. At the same time, valuation is still pretty inexpensive, so I think there's still a pretty good risk reward as we speak.
Eddie, am I too overly confident if I just say, never mind what the Fed says, I'll just watch real rates? If inflation comes down, to around 4% and the Fed funds rate is above that, we got negative rates, I'm long stocks.
Well, I think rates is definitely something that has a very significant impact on the market. When we look at the beginning of the year, when we look at how the Fed fund futures are pricing in Fed fund rates, they are looking at below 1%. Right now, it's actually risen to more than, I think it's about 3.5% as we speak.
Eddie Lowe, CIO at Maybank Group Wealth Management. We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you, as always.